This service is going to be a kind of a shortened service, kind of a elongated communion message is what we're going to have here. But before we get into it, I wanted to share a few things. First of all, Irene is placing membership here, and we're excited to have her. And Joe wasn't kidding when he said there's a story behind this move. Amazing stuff has happened. As you know, Barb's father passed away a few months ago. And to get her down here, she was very aggressive to do that. And so much so that she had Barb running around in circles trying to get everything done, and she was on her. So he kind of liked that spirit. And then the move, Thursday and Friday, kind of wore me out.
Saturday,
yes. Thursday, Friday, Saturday wore me out and a number of other people. And then, of course, you had Seth and Joel helping out. And we're moving, and in the midst, they're at our house, and they decide they're going to wrestle on the trampoline. What's with that? Oh, to have that kind of energy again, I'll tell you. And it's sad to see Leonone leaving. They came here 2 years ago, inaugural service, and now next week they're going to go on the planting to the sea. So that's awesome that they can be with us. Lee was in the bathroom, of course. Lee, we were talking about you. Come on in. Good to have you here. So a lot of things are happening. For those of you who don't know, this is a very small part of our church, okay? We're meeting in house churches throughout the city of Chicago. We do that every so often. The church in the first generation met in houses. They didn't have church buildings. In fact, they were persecuted so much that they were literally underground or wherever they could find to go to have their services. So it's always kind of neat to say, okay, let's huddle up in the smaller groups so people get a more of a familiarity of who our house church is. And we have a lot of people on vacation, 4th of July weekend, so on and so forth. So I hope you're ready for a great service today. Okay. Raise your hand if you were here 2 years ago when we started this thing. Okay. Just a small number. Actually, this is more of the... There was like 29 of us that started the group, and now there's like 180 at services every week. Okay. Today we're going to talk about the power of the cross. Small communion message here. The title is Cross, A Life of Impact. And I have a few questions for you. All right? First of all, let me have a show of hands, people who believe in the cross, who believe in it. Okay. Now, the question is, do you really know what happened at the cross? Most people don't. They can't tell you exactly why Jesus had to die on the cross. They can say, hey, your sins are forgiven, but they don't understand what happened with the blood. They don't understand why the Passover. What is the connection there? They don't understand that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Things like that. Could you convert somebody by using the Old Testament? That's what they had to do in the first generation. So a lot of us don't really understand what it's all about. Now, here's another question. What if it never happened? Cross never happened. Jesus never came. What would you be? What religion would you be? Okay, now this is an interesting thought. What would our country be like if there was no cross? What kind of impact has it had on the world today? And it really is amazing when you think about it. None of you would be here today, right? No cross? Hey, we wouldn't be hanging around together. All right. Irene wouldn't have moved down here. Barb and I wouldn't have moved down here.
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't have come to start this thing. They certainly wouldn't be going to D.C. All right. What for? What's that all about? They wouldn't be doing that, right?
Yeah.
And you think about, what would my religion be? Well, it's not too hard to understand if you look at the rest of the world and you look at what other people are doing for their religion. Let's say you were Jewish. Let's say you were a Muslim, a Buddhist, you know, atheist. There's a lot of things you could be, and you can look at these cultures and realize, hey, a lot of strange things would be happening in my life that I wouldn't be used to right now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Barb and I had the great and fortunate opportunity to go to school in Malaysia, a Muslim country. And it was very interesting how people respond to you. Now, back then, there's no way that I could be alone in a room with a Muslim woman or be caught talking alone. In fact, I would have to marry her. That's what I was told. Now, it was interesting. One point in time, I went into a hospital and there was a bunch of women there, and they were very uncomfortable with the fact that it was them and just the woman nurse. I was like, what's your problem? You know, I didn't get it. But that's the culture, and that's the religion. In fact, at one point, Barb and I were traveling around. Some guy said, how much for the woman? This is interesting. Where would you be now if there wasn't... Yeah, let's not go there. Where would you be now if there was no Christianity? You got to realize how much of an impact the cross has had. Not just in your personal relationship with God, but in the culture that we live in. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. You guys with me today?
Yeah.
I am grateful to worship a God that is not an angry God.
Yeah.
The other thing that we did in Malaysia, that we hung around with a lot of people that were Hindu. It's interesting the form of worship that they have. And then we hung around with a lot of people that were Buddhists. There were people who believed that you should burn stuff so that you can take it with you in the afterlife.
Yeah.
So there were people burning money. I knew of a guy who burned his car. Well, some of us need to burn our car, okay? But that's another story. Just a whole different way of thinking. The question is, how real is the cross to you? How real is it? It's changed our culture, but do you think about it on a day-to-day basis? Do you understand the impact that you can have and that it has had in your life? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, for people who are struggling with just that. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Well, what's he saying? He's saying, listen, if there's no resurrection, then what's this all about? And he's saying, listen, we need to be pitied above all men if the cross isn't real, if it was just a great idea. Let's go on. Let's look in Romans chapter 1 and see what Paul says to the Roman church. Romans chapter 1. You know, that's a powerful passage when you think about it. He says, you're still in your sin. Now imagine if you had not been forgiven of your sin, the guilt that would be in your life. You know, he says, you're lost. But if it's real, then that's huge. And the problem is, we don't understand what that means. How huge is the cross to you in your life? All right, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart is in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. All right, let's just stop there. First of all, he says, your faith is being reported all over the world. Now I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay,
just a little bit. Do you realize that our faith is being reported all over the world? I don't think you realize it. Let me ask you, Joe, how many hits do we get on our website?
It's about 14,000 a month.
14,000 a month. Where are those people, man? 14,000 a month. Well, they're all over the world.
That's right.
Okay? And it's hard to imagine that people are getting impacted in ways we have no idea. And it's very bizarre, but people are looking at our faith and they're like, this is awesome. I was talking to JC, who's in Denver, and He says, you know, Jay, I use the sermons from your services for the people that I work with for a Bible study. I get the guys together and we listen to your sermons online because I don't know what I'm doing. But this is awesome stuff.
Amen.
So these people are like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And so he's an opportunity to touch life. Jason Jensen, the guy we were just talking about, who's having surgery tomorrow. In fact, the challenging thing about it is he was going to be here today and he was going to place membership with the church today. Okay? But what does he do? He listens to the sermons every week because it's so faithful.
Yeah.
And we don't realize how desperate people are. Irene moves down here. Now think about how wild that is. You got an 80... Oh, I shouldn't say that. A young... Anyway, she moves down here. Very mature woman. Moves down here to be with us. All right? It wasn't for Jay and Barb. It was because of the church. Because of your letters and your cards and your encouragement, she took no time getting down here because she wanted to be a part of something great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I could go on and on and on. I was talking to Chris yesterday, who's in Florida, preaching to the church down there, and they had a devotional Friday night, and he was talking to people. They said, oh, yeah, I listen to your messages all the time. Oh, yeah, yeah, I love that one. I love this one. And Chris was like, wow, this is awesome. And we don't understand the impact. George, who couldn't be here today, he's studying the Bible, he said to me, he said, listen, the way I found your church is I went online, typed in church, here's the fourth one came up. I thought, hey, that sounds cool. Checked out the website and came over.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing stuff. Now, they didn't have that back then.
Right.
And news traveled much slower.
But
we got to understand, why is this having such an impact all over the world? We get calls from people in Africa, in Australia, throughout the United States, Russia. Hey, you know, how can we hook up with you guys? It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, for us who are here, it's like, what's that all about? We're not that great.
Yeah.
But people think we are.
Yeah.
And it's only because of the cross that this is happening.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Did I blow your mind?
Yeah.
All right. And I didn't even talk about a number of other people. Lauren John found the church through the internet. Nick and Jackie, they drive here every week from Iowa. I mean, why? Because of the cross. And I guess there's another couple moving in here from Portland because of the cross. Now, it's a challenging question. Why are people doing this? Because they believe.
Yeah.
Without the faith, it just doesn't happen. I don't even know where I am here. Okay, look in verse 9.
Come on.
Verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constant are memory of my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Okay, in verse 9, he says, listen, my whole heart is invested. God whom I serve with my whole heart.
Right.
And why? Because he believed in it. Paul had his head cut off because he believed in this.
Yeah.
He's in Rome, or he's writing to Rome, and he's about to come to Rome, and that's where he dies. And why? And he knew he was going to die. He knew it. He's like, this is who I am. The challenging question for us is that how real it is for us? We don't have to face people wanting to kill us every day.
Right.
We don't. Amen. We're in freedom.
Right.
What would we do if it was that way?
Right.
Do we have that kind of passion for the cross? And he says, listen, I remember my prayers. Why is he praying so fervently? Because he believes. Christianity isn't just something to do on Sunday and, oh, that was a nice sermon. Boy, I feel a little better about myself. That's not it. It's a reality. And it needs to become a reality. And the more it becomes a reality, the more of a life of impact we have. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you convinced of? What are you passionate for? Are you more passionate for your job than for the cross?
Come on.
How does God feel about that? Are you more passionate for a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a title, football? What is your passion? Is it greater than the cross? Now, we're not going to go into the football thing, okay? We got some challenging situation. New York, no, we won't go there, okay? But passions arise on Sunday, not because of the cross. I'll tell you what, people are fervent because they love a team more than anything else. I was in a situation one time, there was a bunch of brothers talking, this is back when I was single, okay? And a bunch of us guys were getting together, and somebody says, hey, you know what, we need to go share a faith. And this one brother's like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling that good. I'm not there, you know, I'm missing that. And we had this discussion, and we're talking, and we're making plans, and he's decided to stay. And then somebody says, hey, did you know that the game is on TV? And he sprung up, where, what are you talking about? And everybody looked at him, and he, oh. Totally convicted. You can just see it go, because he knew it was in his heart.
Yeah.
The passion is there. The question is what drives it. Okay. Verse 14. Paul goes on. He says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Okay, he says, I'm obligated. You know, it's a weird word to put in there if you don't understand it. Why would you be obligated? You know, that's a word that says, listen, I've got to do it. Do you feel obligated because of the cross? Do I feel obligated because of the cross? Where is my heart in all of this? You know, there's a lot of people, great-hearted people, even in this room, that I know feel obligated about certain things. I know Seth is very obligated for his family. When situations arrive, you can tell it bothers him. He's got to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know that.
Amen.
Kathy, you can tell. She feels very obligated about what she believes in. I don't know, there was a situation last week where she was at a meeting and she decided, I have to share something, and she did. And see, sometimes we suppress that because of fear or whatever. He pushed past his fear to the point of death.
Wow.
Do you feel obligated to share about the cross? I know Bob McMurray, he saw a great need for the children's ministry, and he said, listen, I'm going to take over this thing. And we're like, you're crazy. He's got four kids. He lives, you know, by O'Hare. He gets there at 8:30 in the morning. And Bob's a great example because he can say, listen, you got a problem being on time? Talk to Bob.
Yep.
He's got four teenagers ready to go in the morning.
Yeah.
And he's in charge of it. And a lot of times he doesn't get to hear the sermon because there's things going on.
That's right.
He felt obligated. I know Sherry. She's been bringing visitors and stuff like she felt obligated.
Amen.
Challenge for us is that our spirit. Verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, what does that word righteousness mean? It means doing what's right by what God says is right. Not what I think is right. Not what you think is right. Certainly not what Joe thinks is right. What does God say is right? And he says a righteous will live by faith. Faith in what? The cross. Otherwise, this is nonsense. And if you live by faith in the cross, then you have a life of impact. In other words, you change people's lives because you believe. You cannot have a fervent belief and not change the world around you.
Right.
It's an impossibility. And it's hard to live righteous in an unrighteous world because there's so many obstacles and so many challenges to our faith.
Right.
But if you're passionate and you believe in the cross and you believe you have the answers, then you do it. He says, I'm not ashamed. Are we ashamed? Ashamed of Jesus and the cross? Fearful to share a faith? You know, it's weird because it's like God says, what did I do wrong that you'd be embarrassed of me?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think it'd be the other way around.
That's right.
Hey, there's things we've done that are embarrassing to God. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my son, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I died for that way. Yeah, he's a Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do we present something that God's encouraged by, that he's not ashamed of? I'll say, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Okay, now we've got point number two. The flip-flop. That'd be a good name for point number two, the flip-flop. All right, what's that? That's the bad impact. Look at verse 18. And he goes right on. From the righteous will live by faith. And then he says, the wrath of God. Now you know it's bad when he starts off that. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You know, you just sense God's ticked off here. He says people are suppressing the truth.
Wow.
So now imagine you had to go to the cross and people are trying to stop people to find out about what happened. I mean, that would tick me off. It'd be like you have the answer for cancer. You know, you found it. I don't know, somehow. You're in Amazon, you found a weed, and it works. Okay? And you chewed on it, and boy, you're free of cancer. You got to tell everybody, right?
Yeah.
But you decide, I'm going to suppress the truth. I'm not going to tell anyone. Because I don't want to be whatever, you know. I don't want all this attention. Who knows? But imagine people have cancer finding out you knew, and you were unwilling to tell people.
Right.
How would they feel? And that's what he's saying. He says, you know, people are suppressing the truth. He says, people know. People are without excuse. They know about the cross. They choose not to tell people. They choose to stop it. And it's got to sadden God.
Yeah.
It's rebellion. That's bottom line. In verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. God's saying, listen, futile, useless. They've done these things and their hearts had to be hardened. And in fact, it's so out there, they're starting to worship created things.
Yeah.
That's America. We worship a lot of created things.
That's right.
You know, driving back and forth here, I saw the Ferrari place and the Porsche place, and I think, how many people worship their cars?
Yeah.
All that, wow, you know, look at me driving around. This weekend, we were driving back from Wisconsin. We stopped and got some gas. And there happened to be fireworks going on at this place and all this. And all these teenage kids were, you know, back and forth, squealing, you know, just spinning and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I thought, those aren't their cars. You know, we got Corvettes and I thought, oh man, if the parents knew what these kids were doing,
right,
it'd be a scary thing. But this is what the kids are giving their hearts to. And our nation is going to suffer for this. And God says, listen, although they knew about me, they decided not to go there.
Right.
In fact, verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies, so on and so forth. And God says, okay, fine. If you don't want to have a life of impact for good, you're going to have a life of impact for bad, because I'm going to let you go. And hopefully you'll humble out and wake up. That's a scary thought. God says, listen, go ahead. Full bore, and see what happens. And you know people like that. You know people whose lives have been crushed and ruined. And you know, the sad thing is, most people have a Bible. I think everybody has a Bible.
Right.
They know. And God says, listen, creation alone, they can't deny that I'm not here.
Right.
It's an impossibility. So, they refuse to accept the power of the cross. Does this make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of quiet in here. I wonder if it's... Okay. Where am I here? Okay, chapter 2, verse 5. This does end in a good note. Okay. Just thought I'd share that. Everybody walks out of here. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness, he goes on and on. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are stirring up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. Wow. But really, God's saying, listen, you got two directions to go here. I've given you my best. I had my son sacrificed for your freedom, your enjoyment. Now, it's going back to that righteousness thing. For those of us who live by righteousness, think about what that brings. It's refreshment, freedom from guilt. All right, and I want you guys to think about before you were disciples and now, where you were at and where you would be if there was no cross. That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Righteousness brings freedom. Freedom from guilt. Righteousness brings great marriages. Great kids. Right, guys? Great kids.
Yeah.
Amen.
Great kids.
Don't I have great kids?
Great kids.
Some kids. All right. It brings about freedom. To be able to challenge people because you could say, look at my life.
Yep.
Not that you're being arrogant and prideful, but because you want to help them. On the other hand, for those who reject God, there's just pain. And you know the people. And see, that's where we got to get in and say, you've got to wake up. You got to change as a result of the cross. And that way we can have impact. We're going to close in chapter 8, verse 31. Cross needs to be our motivation.
Right.
If you persist in doing good, eternal life, glory, honor, hey, sign me up. That's what I want. Chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor the demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
That is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's an amazing passage. You got Paul writing, and he's saying, listen, you know, this is how amazing God's love is for you, for all of us. He said, listen, if he's going to give up his son, why wouldn't he help you here? Why wouldn't he do this? What are you thinking? And then he says, listen, for your sake, we face death all day long.
Uh-huh.
Now that's a reality.
Wow.
For Paul and the apostles. They all got martyred except for John. They didn't know what to do with John. History says they threw him in boiling oil. He wouldn't die. They freaked out. Put them on an island, kept them there alone. That's powerful.
Right.
They all died. Why? Because they believed in it. And he says, listen, this is not just a minor thing for us. It's death. And really, uniting with God says, we are going to have a life of impact. And he says, nothing's going to separate us. It can't happen. And I think we forget, we think we're alone. Our life is tough. This person made fun of me because I believe in Jesus. You know, fact. You know, it just doesn't compare when you think about it. People laugh at you. What's that? They don't realize what they're throwing away. Now, if you pulled up a Ferrari and said, you know what, I'm going to give you this, they do cartwheels around you, okay? But you offer them the cross and a line.
Right.
very sad state of affairs.
Yes, it's true.
But for us, who've given our hearts to it, God says, I am proud of you. I'm not ashamed to call you my children.
Amen.
So when we take communion, we're going to do that right now. I want you to pray. When you pray, think about the fact that God says, listen, I've given you my best. I love you. I'm there for you. And our willingness to give back. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the scriptures that enlighten our lives and our eyes. Help us to grab a hold of the cross. Help us to understand it fully.
Yeah.
So that we can change life around us. Help us to realize that you died for a purpose.
Yeah.
And help us to take that purpose throughout a hurting world.
Yeah.
And God, I know it hurts you to see what's going on in the world. Help us to push past our selfishness, our laziness, the things, the sin that's in our life,
yeah,
and really push to do what's right. Thanks for giving us hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.